So on the basis of our sensory experience, we come into contact with the world, and we have contact takes place, and that's what's going on with this couple down here. They are contacting each other. We have sensuous impressions. So it's interesting, you start to move into some images now which are quite, they're not just neutral images, they're quite emotionally loaded, these images, aren't they? Kind of a couple snogging has a very different weight to sort of, a very different sort of emotional impact than any, than other sorts of sensuous experience, yeah? Than say, you know, just somebody touching something or somebody looking at something. Yeah, it's got it's much more. What it's indicating is that actually there's an awful lot of energy tied up in the whole business of coming into contact with the world. And what happens on the basis of contact is one of three things. Yeah, we either have pleasant experience, painful experience, or neutral experience. Yeah. This is Vedana in Sanskrit, which is usually translated as feeling. But the problem with that is that we tend to conflate it with all sorts of feelings. But actually, it's just like, on the basis of the contact we have in the world, just imagine this is slowed down. Imagine your experience is really, really slowed down. Yeah. So you come into contact with someone or something, as I've said loads of times over the past few weeks. Yeah. You either like it, you don't like it, or you don't go monkeys. Yeah. That's basic. That's our first basic response to the world. Do I want to appropriate it? Do I want to push it away? Well, actually, no, that's the second step, yeah? Does it make me happy? Does it make me unhappy? Does it not register on the scale very much? Yeah. And there's nothing we can do about this sequence, as it were. We don't have any choice in this sequence of five things. That's just part of the mechanism of being a human being. That's just kind of these things happen. On the basis of consciousness, we develop, we have a, you know, on the basis of the consciousness we've developed from what we've done before, we have a particular sort of sensory experience with a particular sorts of biases and predilections. And on the basis of those biases and predilections, we come into contact with the world and we experience pleasure or pain, yeah? Or nothing much. So far, reasonably clear. At least as a model, you don't have to agree with it, but at least let me finish the model before you start disagreeing. So I'll get horribly confused otherwise. So once again, we've got an image here. We've got an image of an arrow in the eye. So it's making the point that, you know, when we talk about it in words, when we say our response to the world is one of either pleasure or distress, you know, we like it or we don't like it, it sounds kind of... doesn't sound that big a deal, does it? Yeah? But actually, this arrow in the eye is giving some degree of communication of the level of significance of how strongly this affects us, yeah? Actually, this is a big deal. This is a big deal, the level of our response to the world. Our response to the world is based almost entirely on what we like and what we don't like. Yeah? That's what drives us. So this is kind of, this series of five steps is just an inevitable consequence. Now the next bunch of things is a matter of choice, much more a matter of choice, yeah? But what is indicated here is what happens if we don't exercise much choice, yeah? If we're just running on autopilot, if we're just operating the way we operate most of the time. So what usually happens is we have an experience, we get an arrow in the eye, we want it out, yeah? Or we're thirsty, somebody offers us a drink, we take the drink, yeah? So on the basis of our Vedana, yeah, on the basis of feeling either attracted to or averse to something, we respond by either craving it, wanting it, or pushing it away, yeah? This step is usually talked about as craving. It's talked about as trishna, which literally means thirst. But it means thirst in that kind of really, really gagging for it sort of thirst. Really, really gagging for a drink sort of thirst. Not really, really gagging for it in that sort of way that we don't talk about in Buddhist shrine rites. So on the basis of our pleasure, pain, neutral response, we want or we don't want, yeah, or we're not interested in. And then as a consequence of that, we either grasp for it or we push it away, yeah, which is the next step. So we've got this business of we pluck fruit, we gather fruit. And what that does is that sets up the conditions for who we're going to be in the future. Yeah? On the basis of our grasping or our pushing away, the next phase is bhavana, becoming. And that's why it's got this sort of pregnant woman, this sort of sense of the potential. The nature of the future is determined by how we've responded. Yeah? So we create who we're going to be in the future by whether we grasp or we push away. And then the last two picture just the whole cycle again, yeah? We give birth, we die. We give birth, you know, we're born, we die. It's the whole of the rest of the thing. It's the whole cycle kind of summed up again. It just goes on and on and on and on and on, yeah? We create who we're going to be, we do it, we act out of that. It sets up who we're going to be in the future. And it just goes on and on and on and on. So I'll just summarise that and then I'll come back to this wee gap thing. So through our ignorance of the way things really are, we develop habits of being and how we are relating to the world. Yeah? Shall I say that again? Through our ignorance of the way things really are, we develop habits of being and relating to the world. This gives us a particular perspective on things, which leads to states of mind and body, which affect how we filter our experience, so that when we have experiences, we experience pleasure, pain, or nothing much based on the above, yeah, based on what's gone before. Shall I repeat that as well? Okay, so on the basis of having set up these habits, this gives us a particular perspective which leads to particular states of mind and body, which affect how we filter our experience. So that when we have these experiences, we either experience them as pleasurable, painful, or neutral, based on our predilections, based on what's gone before. So unless we respond creatively to these feelings of pleasure, pain, or of neutrality, our automatic response will be to crave the things we associate with pleasure, and to be averse to the things we associate with being painful, yeah? And this will lead to us either grasping or rejecting, grasping and pushing away. And what that does is simply sets up or reinforces habits, which lead to us cycling through this loop again and again and again and again. So it's this cyclic conditionality, this going round and round the circle, which Buddhists call samsara. Yeah, the unenlightened state. So, how do we get off the wheel? Dear points of view, why, oh, why do we keep being reborn again and again and again, doing the same old thing? So what's happening with cyclic conditionality is we're just running on autopilot, yeah? Our minds are just operating in a reactive way. They're just, a stimulus happens, we behave in the same way as we've always done, yeah? The most obvious place where you get this is when you go and see your mum. Yeah? She treats you like you're 12, you behave like you're 12. You know, you get all indignant and snotty with them. Yeah? I just spent Saturday with my girlfriend's father and his stepmother. And Diana just gets really weird around her dad. She's just so defensive. You know, she just turns into a teenager again. You know? And it's what we do. It's what we do, you know. We just have these habits we've developed and we just slot into them. And this is just mechanical, it's repetitive, and it's painful. It's really painful because it just leads to the same results, you know. So what we're going to look at next week is kind of trying to create a creative response. There's something which is called the spiral path, yeah? So instead of just going around in a circle, we can start to ascend. We can kind of break off the circle. And we're going to look at that spiral path next week, but we'll just spend a few minutes having a look at where the gap is, yeah? How do you, where the kind of, the exit ramp from the M25 of samsara is, you know? Unfortunately, there's only one, there are a number of exit ramps, actually. There's an exit ramp, traditionally, I suppose you'll be familiar with this from kind of, you know, there's an exit ramp associated with what are called, in-between stages, as it were. In Tibetan Buddhism, they're called bardos. Yeah, you're familiar with the bardo stage? So you've heard of the Tibetan Book of the Dead, haven't you? Everybody's heard of the